We who were far off have been brought near by the power of Christ in human form, sharing our world without sin, by the grace of Christ risen in hope, by the everlasting promise that we may be made one with God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We are a praying congregation, and this is the time in our service when we lift up our prayers, parts of our lives or the lives of those we love that we want to lift to God, either as joys or concerns. I'm wondering what's on your heart or in your life today that you would like prayer for. Helen.
My friend asks for a prayer for, she's having a procedure on her epiglottis on Tuesday.
I won't try to pronounce that. Okay. What's your friend's name?
Marie.
Praying for Marie, who has a procedure on Tuesday. Thanks for the prayers. Cheryl.
I have a joy today. Masara is back in church. Miriam is home and doing well. And Veen's mother, Jalila, is here today.
Welcome, Jalila. Jalila is here from Baghdad with us for 3 months. Welcome her afterwards, I hope. Nice to see you. Judy.
I'd ask continued prayers for Walter. He had a bad week and had to go into Miriam twice and get infused with fluids. So just continued prayers for him. My youngest son is going to be 45 this week, and I don't know how that happened.
Doesn't add up, you're right. Praying for your son and also for Walter. Thanks. Other prayers today. Allie.
We would love prayers for our next step. This is our last Sunday here, And we thank everyone very much. We've had a great experience here. And we don't really know where we're going or what we're doing, but, you know, we'll figure it out. But prayers for that, and just thanksgiving that we found this church 4 years ago, and for all of your lives.
Oliver, you have something to say too?
So we're going to be moving, and so don't be worried that we're not coming.
You heard it here. We're Allie and Matt, we're praying for your family as you go. Thank you. Dorothea.
I just want to give thanks for Rita's presence here. She was with us for 20 years and more than active. And it's wonderful to have her back for a little while.
Thanks. Welcome, Rita Guerin, back, a longtime member and leader in this church. It's great to see you. Somebody, I'll go back there. Okay.
Praise the Lord. I tell God, thank you. I lost my brother even last week. Wesley, I can't see. I need prayer. I know hear from my brother sick, and I just hear from my brother die. But I can't ask God question, because he said everything we must tell him, thank you. But I present my brother's soul to him. The time when my brother lived, I don't know a lifetime, I don't know a give it to God. But now she come to you, Father. I want you to let a soul rest in peace. Father, I ask you for mercy for my brother. If you do something good, bad, have mercy for my brother. Because always he said we must do good, O Lord, Father. I down here, I don't know where the life is. The life in your hand now. Anything where my brother do, Father, I ask you for mercy, forgive him. Let us all rest in peace. Because he said, when we do something wrong, he can ask you, he will judge you here before we will go. Sometimes it not happen like that. It can happen to you. But Father, I ask you for mercy. I present the family to you to touch their heart. Because no more brother, only one brother leave me, Father. I sleep, I can't sleep. But he said we must stand up strong. Anything we're happy, we must look to you. I can't ask you a question, Father. But I just tell you thank you. I praise you and I magnify you. For Christ's sake, I need prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Beatrice. We're praying for Beatrice at the loss of her brother at this time. Another prayer back here.
Friday was my 21st birthday, and I thank God for that.
Hey. Amen. Congratulations, 21st birthday. Did I see another one here? Sure. Okay. Sally.
You know, as we send Shim off to the Navy, as our troops leave Iraq, I would ask that we pray for peace.
Prayers for peace. Thank you. Gladys.
I ask for our continuous prayers for our baby Bernard as his lungs heal slowly but surely.
Praying for baby Bernard. Other prayers. Come around to Glenn.
I just want to say thank you for everything, it sure is good to be home.
Continue prayers with Nancy as you continue to heal from your surgery. Other prayers today. Judy, you have one more?
As a Penn Stater, I'd like to ask prayers for the victims of the sexual assaults there.
Prayers with the community of Penn State, and especially with the victims of what happened there. Thank you. Prayers. Vivian. birthday tomorrow. Okay. Evan's birthday is coming up on 5 years tomorrow. We'll pray for him.
Just want to thank God for all my family for making him take a decision to know him. We thank him for our life.
Amen, amen. For a life of faith, we thank God, especially for in our families. One other prayer that I wanted to lift up is this guy sneaking in the back in a blue jacket there. It's my friend Steve. He just got back from a year in Afghanistan serving with the State Department. So welcome, Steve. Good to see you. You can talk to him afterwards. Another prayer for Jill.
I'd like to pray for the family of Sue Serval. Her cousin was the 25-year-old girl that got killed on the Point Street Bridge in the fog.
So for the family of Sue Serval, his death. Julie B.
This is a joy in the wrong place because I was late walking in, but this is sort of an announcement and a joy in that we're depending on all of you to bring in your things for Camp Street Ministry, whether it be stuffing or cranberry sauces or things like that. They do give you them sweet potatoes, you know, that they can cook, but canned sweet potatoes are fine. And I'll give you a hint. Walmart has great prices on stuffing, stovetop, and cranberries, okay? A canned cranberries. Thank you.
We pray for those who are hungry. Thank you, Julie. But yes.
For my father, Mark, he is beginning cancer treatment this week.
For Meg's father, Mark, beginning cancer treatment. Okay. Brooke. We need to coordinate a little better here.
Just wanted to make you walk back over here. We met in our house group last night and had a good house group meeting, and I think it'd be appropriate to be praying for the schools and for the role that this church can have in helping the schools.
We're praying for our schools in Providence and for the role that this church may have as we go forward. Thanks.
Let us pray. Into this world you came, O God, creating, redeeming, sustaining, to call your people as one in unity, in peace, in justice, and in hope. We give thanks that you come still to us. We bring to you the prayers of this world, imperfect though it is, ever ready to be transformed by your spirit, your love, and your grace. We pray for all places of pain and violence, near and far off, for those recovering from the earthquakes again in Turkey, for places of war and destruction, for peace as troops leave Iraq. We pray for those who serve this country in foreign service and give thanks for Steve's presence with us this day, for our schools in this community and the ways in which you call us to be a force for hope and transformation. We pray for those places close in where injustice reigns and where uncertainties loom, for the unemployed and the underemployed, for those reaching for recovery. Bring strength and power to those efforts. Particularly, we pray for the victims of the Penn State tragedy and the community there, for the hungry in our midst. You, O God, hear and answer our prayers. We give thanks for that witness today with Nancy here in our midst, even as we pray for those who need continued healing, for Terry, for Marcus, for Myra's father in a stroke in Guatemala, for Marie, for Walter, for Beatrice's brother, for Bernard, for Mark, for the family of Sue. Make us one in you, O God, as we look to the world around us
as we seek to be witnesses to your grace with those closest to us. We give thanks, O God, this day for the celebration of birthdays, for Judy's son, for Priscilla, for Evan, for lives lived in faith. We pray for all those who step forward in faith in times of transition and give thanks for the Jacobs family with us. We pray for Allie, for Matt, for Oliver and Bruno as they go forth into the unknown but with great gifts to share with the world. Help us, O God, to be your people together and to bring your people together across differences and circumstances, to show forth the love that you have for us and for all your people. Through Christ we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to ask all the children in the congregation to come forward at this time. You can find a place on the front row or down sitting on the ground. Come on up. Come on down. Hey guys. All right, you guys can sit down. You guys can come all the way in. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Everybody here? Come on up, Elliot. Come on up, Eliza. Let's see. Well, good morning. Morning. My friend Edward over here is going to bring me something, but he's not going to show you what it is. And I want to know if I have a volunteer today. Can I get a volunteer? Now think about it. Do you want to volunteer for something that Pastor Dave is going to ask you to do? You really do? Okay. Anyone who's raising their hand to volunteer, stand up here. Come on up if you're going to volunteer. Stand right up here. Okay. All right, little friends. Now, here's what you're volunteering for. Tell me what part of you want me to chop off with this knife. Your head? Your hair? That was smart. Okay. I can cut food with this knife. Hair, okay. Any other part of you that I should cut with this knife? A finger? His leg? This sounds... Okay, you guys can sit down. You guys are good volunteers. Cut your body. I will not do that. Take a seat, you guys. Take a seat. Well, you know, our bodies and who we are, it's not meant to be cut with a knife, is it? Our hairs we cut, our fingernails we can trim, or our toenails. But the rest of us really stays together. We don't cut off a finger or a hand. We don't do that. Because all the parts of our bodies are important. All the parts of our bodies have some part to play in who we are. What if you didn't have any legs? Maybe you couldn't walk. What if you didn't have, you'd fall down, right? What if you didn't have any hands? You couldn't touch anything. You couldn't write. What if you didn't have any ears? You couldn't hear or listen. What if you didn't have a mouth? Couldn't talk, couldn't eat, couldn't drink anything. Yeah, imagine if we use this knife and cut off any of the parts of our bodies, we wouldn't be the same, right? It wouldn't be as good. The blood would come out, that's right. It wouldn't be as good, because you know what? That's right. The thing is that God created our bodies, all of our parts, to work together in a really special way, in a really good way. And so we don't want to ever lose any part of those of our bodies. And in a similar way, people sometimes say the church, all these people here, that we're kind of like a body, like a human body that moves around and has different parts. Yeah, and all the different parts have a different thing to do. So we don't want to ever cut off or lose any of those parts. Instead, we celebrate and we say, thank you, God, that all of our parts are together so we can work together the best way, the way that we're made to be. So let's pray, and I'm going to send you down to your classes today. Let's pray. God, thank you for your creation and your love, for our bodies and the body of Christ, which is the church. Bless and keep each of these little ones this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go downstairs. Children are released to their classes at this time. Yeah, you want that? Thank you. Middle school class will be meeting upstairs today as well.
As usual, our scripture lessons may be found in your pew Bibles on the pages noted in the bulletin and will also be projected. The gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The second lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, from the 12th chapter. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. When I was growing up in my family home, my father kept a poster hanging up in his bedroom. I suspect it was the last thing he saw before going to sleep at night and the first thing he saw when he woke up in the morning. It was one of those inspirational posters. You know the kind you might have seen before. I want to show it to you. Here it is. You seen that before? This cat, and it says, hang in there. It's probably a good message for all of us to remember. Just keep hanging in there when life is tough. Well, recently I came across another poster, and this one is a little bit different. This one is a picture of all these hands together, kind of like a team meeting or a huddle. And it's this inspirational poster in a different kind of way. I'll show it to you here. You see, all those hands says meetings. But then down below, I don't know if you can see it, it says, none of us is as dumb as all of us. None of us is as dumb as all of us. This is a little commentary you see on the phenomenon that sometimes when otherwise good and well-meaning and helpful people get together, weird things can happen. This poster is funny and it resonates with us, I think, because it has some truth in it. How many of us have sat through a meeting at work or at school or in the community or at church, in which we thought, is this really a good use of my time? And what is going on here? Well, strange as it seems, or silly as it can be, human beings, you and I, are actually made to get together, to meet somehow, in groups, in clans, in tribes, in clusters, in networks, in families, in relationships, and in churches. Today we are at the point in our Apostles' Creed sermon series where we are exploring the line that says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Our affirmation of faith leads us to state this core Christian principle that God creates us, forms us, and intends us to be in community, in relationship with one another. We call this relational reality that exists between us and that we participate in together, the church. This is what we're talking about today, and as we begin, let's pray. Holy and gracious God, you have called us together this day. By your word, may we be fed. By your power, may we be empowered to live as your people together and your people in the world. All these things through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Pastor John Ortberg tells the story of a friend of his from Michigan who took a trip down south for the very first time. And he stopped in at a typical southern diner and sat down and opened the menu. And on it he saw one of those classics of southern cooking, grits. Have you ever had grits before? Well, this man, he came from the north, and he hadn't had them before. He didn't really know what was a grit exactly. What did it look like? What did it come from? What did it taste like? What's the essential nature of a grit? And so he asked the waitress, and he said, "Ma'am, could you tell me what exactly is a grit?" And she looked at him and said, "Honey, they don't come by themselves." Grits don't come by themselves. They're a package deal. They come all together. And so it is with us as people of faith. We are not meant to be on our own, off in as single, solitary grits. But instead, we are called to be all together in this crazy bowl of grits they call the church. Now, the New Testament word for the church is ecclesia. It's the word where we get the Spanish word iglesia from, or the Portuguese word igreja, ecclesia. The word means an assembly or gathering of those who have been called out. An assembly or gathering of those who have been called. That's the church. Karl Barth writes that the Christian congregation arises and exists neither by nature nor by historical human decision, but as a divine convocatio, or convocation. Those called together by the Holy Spirit assemble at the summons of their king. In the New Testament, this word ecclesia in those times could be used in a number of different ways. It could describe a civic assembly, like a town hall meeting, that was called together by a mayor or a ruler. It could describe a gathering of soldiers on the battlefield who had been called to defend their city by a general or other military leader. I wonder if you could think about it a little bit like a family meeting in your household. When my mom used to call family meetings, we had to go. And at the end of the family meeting, you knew you would have a list of chores to do as well. This is something like an ecclesia. We are called together. The Bible uses so many different images for what the church is like, metaphors that help us understand it. It is compared to a household. It is called a family of faith. It is described as a spiritual house that is being built brick by a master craftsman. The church is seen as a flock of sheep led by a shepherd. It's called a bunch of branches that are growing together on the one true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Many of these images may be familiar to you. We read a couple of them today, but probably the most familiar, the one we looked at from Paul, one of the most beloved pictures from the New Testament of what the church is like, is this: the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Paul writes, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." Paul is saying that the church is like a body made up of these different parts, and each part is valuable and important in its own way. The body as a whole is enriched by the presence and gifts of each of the parts. And each of those parts of the body is also enlivened and able to grow because it is connected to the body. We remember Jesus said to his disciples, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We're meant to be together. The Apostles' Creed uses three words to describe this reality, this body, this church of which we are all a part. And the first word is holy. The church is holy. I wonder what you think of when you hear that word, holy. Is that a word you resonate with, or is that something you would shy away from a little bit? To have a holier-than-thou attitude is one of the great sins in our society. It seems to mean that you look down on others or think of yourself as somehow better than them. Yesterday, we were at a presbytery meeting, which is a meeting of churches in our area, and we had a communion meal all together. And in the invitation to come forward to receive communion, the pastor there said, "These are holy things for holy people. Holy food for holy people, come." I almost didn't get up. I wonder how you would hear that. I wonder how you would hear that invitation. Holy things for holy people. What if our taking communion depended on our holiness, on our righteousness, or our virtue somehow? One pastor told me once that he used to sit up in front in his church while communion was being served, and that the cup they used to serve communion was this metallic silver, almost reflective, like a mirror. And so he would sit up there the entire time as all the communion was being sent out, looking at himself in the mirror. And the whole time he'd be thinking the same thing. Wow, I'm good looking. No, the whole time he would be thinking the same thing. I'm not worthy. I'm not holy. What does it mean to say that we believe the church is holy? Or that we as God's people are somehow called to be holy? Well, the word holy in the Apostles' Creed does not mean what we think it means. It's not talking of perfection or moral righteousness per se. But the word here means set aside or consecrated. Holy. Set aside for a particular godly purpose. That's what the word means. So the church is holy in that we are called out and set aside for God's holy, for God's good purposes. What is God's particular purpose for us? What is this special role or calling that we have all together as a church? One explanation of this is found in the great ends of the church, which is a description of the purposes of the church. Here's what it says. The great ends of the church are these: the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. These are the six marks or six ends of the church, purposes for why God has gathered us and set us apart. So the church is holy. It is set apart or aside for these special purposes from God. But we're not just set apart, we're also connected. The church is holy and it is Catholic. Now, again, we can stumble on this word Catholic because it immediately brings to mind Roman Catholic Church with all of its associations and maybe baggage that you associate with it. But the word Catholic simply means universal. The Church of Jesus Christ, universal. In all of its varied forms, in every time and place, across denominational or theological lines, we believe in the Church universal. The Church is holy, it is Catholic, or universal, and it is a communion of saints. In case we start to get a little too high and lofty using words like holy and universal, here comes something to ground us in the everyday, concrete reality of a congregation. The church is a communion of saints, and looking around at you fine people today, I will add a communion of sinners. Sorry to break the bad news, but it's true. Martin Luther, that great German theologian, had this phrase. He said that we are simul justus et peccador. We are simultaneously saints and sinners. We cannot believe in the essential nature of the church as called out people, set aside for God's good purpose, part of the universal body of Christ, We cannot do all that without acknowledging that the body of Christ is broken. It's imperfect. Maybe that's why the image of a body is so helpful to us when we think of it, because we know what our own bodies are like. A friend of mine who is an acupuncturist told me recently that he had treated a couple of professional athletes. And he said, their bodies are different from everybody else's bodies. They're built like Greek gods. They are strong. They are fit. They are in every way perfect. Not like you, Pastor Dave. Not like any of us. The bodies we have are much more like the body of the church. When you read the writings of St. Paul in the New Testament, it is striking to see how much of his time and energy is devoted to talking about the problems that the churches were having. He writes to this communion of saints, which turns out to be a communion of sinners. He writes to this body of Christ, which is broken and hurting, fear-filled and disappointed. Karl Barth writes that the New Testament never presents the church apart from its problems. And yet, Paul believes in the church. He knows the realities that it faces, and he still believes. He wrote to the church in Rome, and by extension to us today here in Providence, to give some instruction, to give some guidance, to give some idea of what life together in this body of Christ is like. This is what he writes. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. What if that was a description of what life in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, was like? Would you be a part of it? Would you join it? Would you find your life caught up in the life of that kind of a community? Broken as we are, yet seeking to live out our calling as God's own people in the world? To preach the gospel, to proclaim forgiveness, to witness to the love and justice of our God, to support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons, to serve the Lord with joy, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. This is our calling. This is our church. Holy, Catholic, a communion of saints who we also know are sinners. To live this way together is not just good news for us who are inside today, but it is also a sign and a witness to all who hear of it, to all who see it, to all who get a foretaste, just a nibble, of what life is like in this place. We seek to exhibit the kingdom of heaven to the world. Our life together, when it is broken, is a poor witness. Our life together, as we are reconciled and redeemed, as we are brought together again in a spirit of unity around Jesus Christ, is a powerful witness to those who see it. Sometimes it takes true grit to be one of the grits in this bowl. Sometimes we need true grit to be part of the reality of what the church is, this imperfect body of which each of us is a part. Do you have true grit? Are you ready to join us in the bowl full of grits? If you look around you, there's no perfect people. They're grits. And yet these grits are called together somehow, set aside for a particular purpose, connected with all the other grits around the world, and finally assigned to those who see it of God's goodness and mercy and love. Amen.
Let us stand as we are able and affirm our faith using that portion of the Apostles' Creed that you'll find in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints.
Each week in the month of November, we are inviting a different elder from our congregation to share a little bit about stewardship. Yes, it's stewardship month. What it means to different people to support the church financially and in other ways. And today I want to welcome Elder Kwame Jumpo to share.
God is good.
All the time.
My name is Kwame Jumpo, and I am an elder here at the church. Today I am sharing with you why I give and how that came to be. At some point in my life, I had these thoughts and these questions. And I've heard such things like, churches only today take money. What do they do with that money? How do I know the money I use will go to a good cause? There is too much abuse and misuse of church funds. Why should I give? 10 years ago, I sat in on my first PPC annual congregation meeting, right in that spot where Murray's sitting. For members of this church, you already know what to expect at these meetings. But for newcomers to the church, as I was then, I had no idea. I had no idea of what was going to happen. So what happened? Nothing. I mean, something did happen, but nothing that I can really remember. Except that I remember being shocked. I was shocked because church finances were discussed. Everything was laid out in front of us, and one can see exactly where every penny they had given to the church went. So what's the big deal? Well, I was aware at that time that church needs money to be effective. My previous church did an excellent job of asking for money. I wasn't oblivious to the church's expectations and potential, but at that point in my life, I lacked the motivation to give away my hard-earned money. I was only 15, but I worked hard for my money. All right. So, because my church didn't provide a compelling vision for how the money I give will make a difference in the world, I withheld my money from the church because I did not see sufficient return of my investment. I was young, perhaps selfish, and I thought a lot of money I made was mine to use as I please. My priorities revolved around my needs and my desires. I was ignorant of what the Bible said about our responsibilities to apply God's resources in ways that affect lives. But when everything was laid out in front of me that day, my thoughts, my feelings changed, and my faith grew. It was comforting to know where the money I was given was going to go. It was comforting to know that the money I was given would be accounted for and would matter. Since that meeting, giving to the church has become my favorite thing to do, whether my gifts are in form of money, drumming, serving on a committee, or providing childcare. Blessed are the hands that give, not the ones that take. I encourage you today to attend our next annual congregational meeting or the next stewardship brunch, which is next week downstairs after church. or simply talk to someone who knows. Come, listen, ask questions. Come listen to the many ways PPC uses the money we give to build our church, repairing pews, paying for the electricity bill, or how we build our community, like helping out with Camp Street, Rhode Island International Institute, or the world at large, like partnering with Nancy Collins. Again, blessed are the hands that give and not the ones that take. So give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen.
Thank you, Kwame. Our worship continues with the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Sometimes in our life, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lead on. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna. We all need somebody to lead on. I just might have a problem that you don't understand. We all need somebody to lead on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I help you carry on.
Amen.
us pray. With gratitude for gathering us together, for all that we have, and rejoicing in hope for all that is to come, we dedicate our lives and these offerings to the work of your church here in Providence and throughout your earth. Amen.